And from Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast, where we explore our culinary influence and wonderful things of the Comox Valley. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And today, sitting in with us is no one. It's us. It's just us today.
I know. It's kind of fun. You know, we haven't actually had a chance to sit down and chat together about what's going on in the world and what's happening in our own lives. And there's lots of changes, of course, but...
lots of changes, lots of things, lots of happening.
Lots of happening in the world of food and culinary. I like this, culinary-ism.
Yeah?
I've used that before, and it's terrible. I shouldn't even use terms like that.
It's all right. You can just mash words together until you get your idea across.
Is that what it is? I just make up stuff, and then hopefully people will listen and not be like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah, you got it.
Cool. So when was the last time we... Actually, I don't think we've done a sit-down together since March.
I know. We haven't really caught up about what's going on in the world.
I know. So...
What is going on in the world, John?
Well, my birthday's coming up.
It is. Yeah, as of recording this, you've got...
When I post this, it'll be my birthday. So.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm going to have a very casual do-nothing day.
Nice.
So I have nothing to worry about. And
you know, I didn't ask. As a sort of precursor to your birthday, there was a sort of open house breakfast deal at your place today. I was there until about lunch, and I headed out. And any other guests?
Yeah, we had a few more people show up. Some friends and family, and it was good. It was kind of a nice event.
Yeah,
and actually, I have to go, but this goes back to Cumberland, where I got the ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dark Side Chocolate and the bookstore, which I'm blanking on the name at the moment.
Right.
But we're a food podcast, not a bookstore place. Anyways, but they do a joint pancake breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
And I came up here and I had it, and it was really nice because I sat down and I saw a bunch of people I know. You know, Erin from Tenu or Taku.
Taku, yep.
Yeah, yeah. She was sitting there because they've just moved to Cumberland. So it was nice to catch up with her. And there was a couple other people in there from Cumberland that I got a chance to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought it would be fun just to have a nice sit down pancake breakfast at my house and just have like an open house and just be like, you know what? I'm going to be serving pancakes all day. No set time, no worries. Just show up. I'll have some coffee going.
Yeah.
I'll have some.
I don't know how you can call it a sit down pancake breakfast because I was there for about an hour and a half. You didn't sit down. You had a constant rotation of like family, friends, coworkers, everybody sort of coming and going, but there you weren't sitting down.
Okay, so I may need to rework on the wording of this, but right. I was in my zone. I was like at my kitchen. It was fun because I had everyone sitting at the table and I'm just throwing pancakes, having some ham and
so much fresh fruit and fresh squeezed juice and coffee and it was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great thing to do. Yeah. So I talked to Kirsten today and I said, we're going to do this every 3 months. We're going to have a breakfast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I figure that gives me some time to re-energize. Yeah.
And nice.
So we'll mix it up. It's not going to be pancakes every time. Maybe
right.
From French toast or I'll do an omelet or.
Cool.
Yeah. And just.
Yeah. See how it goes.
Have a nice fun day. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyways, that was the precursor to the birthday, the big birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
What else is going on in the month of April? What's coming up? Or maybe beyond?
Month of April. You know what? There's lots of things. Like I just did a fun, wonderful thing with the Chefs Association this week, last Monday. Oh, yeah. We did a little a foraging.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we went to Lake Trail School and we did a beautiful little walk through the woods there and sort of had Diane.
Yeah.
And she sort of went through everything with us and sort of pointed out some interesting things and what we could do with some of the foods and you know, to actually make time and take time to actually learn what each item is out there.
This has been my big thing for the last couple of years is the foraging, you know, like the mushroom harvesting and it all ties into all that. Like that's what I've been wanting to do. And I've gotten into it a lot. Last summer I did a ton of food foraging and I know that we talked about maybe having Diane come on to a future episode. I'd love to sit down and talk to her about foraging around here.
Yeah. And so it would be kind of neat because we got to try different stuff. And, you know, it's like talking, like we found some nettles down there.
Cool.
And it's, you know, nettles are something you want to eat when they're first fresh, right?
Right.
When they're first coming out of the ground, you know, maybe a couple of leaves, a couple of stalks. They're nice and tender. And then they build up some stuff that aren't so good for you later on. So,
right.
And so it was kind of neat to sort of learn those things. And that's something I need to actually put more effort into and learn a little bit more about. So,
right.
Yeah. Cool. And it's amazing the amount of things that are just outside the door.
I know.
That are edible.
It's incredible. I mean, yeah. Herbs, roots, berries, twigs, like there, it, you wouldn't, flowers, mm-hmm. Everything you couldn't, like fungus, it's all there. It's all, well, I shouldn't say it's all edible, but there's edible bits everywhere, just sort of nestled and tucked away everywhere all over this valley. So yeah. I really want to learn more about it.
Yeah. That's why they call this the land of plenty.
And why we call it the Edible Valley.
That's right. For sure. I'm trying to think what other great things just off. I know there's a VHA workshop coming up for special events, and I think that's one of the ones set up. That's going to be Wednesday, April 27th at NIC.
Oh, yeah.
And that's for anyone who's sort of looking at flavor and wants to get involved right. in this and sort of...
I was going to say, that sounds like flavor right there.
Yeah, I think that's part of what they're doing. But there's other special events, you know, like definitely events you've taken place in, mm-hmm. in before, like the Philberg, all those right. kind of things. There's different preparations and you have to have food safety plans, which are...
Right, yeah, that's very important.
I don't know if
important.
People realize that there's a lot more than just saying, hey, I'm going to go set up a tent and start handing out hot dogs.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, it's not just that you have to submit your recipe or how you have to submit exactly how you intend to serve it, how you intend to keep it, how you intend to keep it clean, how you intend to it's and that food plan, as soon as you add more than one or two or three ingredients,
oh yeah,
it gets pretty intense.
Oh yeah. And I mean, just doing like my food safety plan for the Atlas Cafe is a nightmare for me. And it's trying to have something that is relevant to people that they're actually going to use.
Right.
So that's what I find difficult, and especially for my staff and having them realize that, you know, like we have to realize when something comes in, this is
right.
It should be in these conditions and that we should keep it at these conditions, you know,
yeah.
It's got to be held below 4 degrees, you know,
right.
and just breaking all that down. And when you've got 100 or so items,
right.
That's a lot of work. And yeah. It's really interesting when you're doing an event, because that adds an extra thing, because you're transporting. It's not that you can actually, most of the time, you can't just show up with food and start preparing there. You've got to prepare somewhere else, get it ready, and then
right.
ship it off.
Because it has to be in an approved kitchen. It
yes.
has to be in an approved area where they know that it's kept and maintained to a certain standard. And
yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I it's true. I don't think a lot of people understand just how much goes into preparing for these events. And that's just from the kitchen side. That has nothing to do with the organizing and the advertising and the... all of that. There's so much involved.
Oh yeah, no, it's a huge thing going on there. So
but yeah, so I yeah, we've got flavor coming up again. I'm assuming that's going to be towards the end of the summer again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that's another cool thing. We should do a shout out for Brian and Leah.
Yeah,
Clever Crow, because you know this one because you've got the book,
right?
They're putting together in May 7th and 8th.
That's a Saturday and Sunday. Yeah,
yeah. The Art of Cheese Making.
Yeah. Incredible. The book just totally, I'm horrible with authors. I've never, ever pretended to remember authors' names, but had this fantastic book on cheese making. I actually got it off Amazon, had no idea at all that the guy was local or semi-local or even from around these parts.
Right.
And then ran into Leah, and she said that she was doing this cheese making course. She had this sort of celebrity expert guest coming, and he was going to run this 2-day course. And going to go through 10 different types of cheese, four on the first day and 6 on the second. The first day is going to come up, you know, tackle a lot of concepts and ideas before getting into the cheese. And then the second day becomes more of the actual cheese making. But this is like, we're talking the gamut of cheeses. And this is a fantastic book. I was enamored with this book. I love this book. I wanted to do so much with it. And then when I realized that this same author is the guy that's going to be doing this course, I was like, I have to go. I don't care what has to change in my life to make that work, but I am going to go to this course. So I'm looking very forward to it. Yeah. So Ryan and Leah, Clever Crow, I don't know exactly how they want to be contacted to, if you want to be on in this course, but I'm sure you can go to the Clever Crow website and just hit, whatever it is, any way that you
their
communicate
contact.
With them.
Yeah. I would just email them probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know too that Leah said she was limiting it to like 12 or 14 people, and
right.
without even advertising it, she's already got 8 spots filled. So,
and if you do decide to do it, and tell them that you heard about it from the Edible Valley.
Right. So exactly. we hopefully will be, if there are listeners out there that are interested in going, maybe we'll get to be partners. Maybe we'll get to make cheese together. I think mm-hmm. that'd be fantastic.
There you go. Excellent. So what else is happening out there?
I don't know. That was really the one that I'm looking forward to. That was my big, like, that's in the next few weeks. That's the one that's coming up that I'm excited about. Cool. Was that big cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of the Shellfish Festival's coming up. And there's, yeah. There's a bunch of things on the go.
I know. There always is.
Yeah. This town's always full of lots of stuff. So.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, you know, spring is here. Like we're already talking about like coming into days that are starting to feel a bit like shades of summer already. I mean, I'm always so surprised and you know, how every year it seems a couple of days earlier than the year previous. And, yeah. But yeah, just watching everything sprout up right now, like crazy, everything's going like wildfire. So
yeah, no, it's definitely
the next few weeks are going to have some great, it's going to be great to watch everything coming into bloom.
I just keep running into people and everyone's going into the garden and
yeah. Oh, something we could mention, you know, I don't know, for anybody that, I don't know where everybody sits on this, and I'm not trying to, I would never try to call down something that anybody else is doing with anybody else's efforts, but I, as a person, didn't quite like ever going to the indoor markets. I was sort of against them. I didn't like that it was really loud. They always had music. And it was something I realized after a while that I just didn't like. Then I started working the indoor markets and realized that they got rid of the music and it became much more enjoyable experience for me. And I actually liked working in the markets, but I absolutely love the outdoor market. And it should be noted that as of this week, the Comox Valley Farmers Market has now moved to the outside location.
That's right.
Down by the fairgrounds. And yeah, it looks fantastic all over again. So
yeah, no, yeah. I love that. It's a nice atmosphere. It's just, even if, you know, just to come out and have a walk around and have a coffee and a couple little snacks, some pastries,
absolutely.
You know, grab a couple vegetables for your dinner or any proteins you're looking for. You know, it's all there. So,
you know, there's been a few times back last summer. I went down there a couple times and I went down specifically looking for a few things and ended up coming out empty handed. But I never regretted going. I never thought, there's 45 minutes wasted. It was never like that. Like, even though I went down to find something and it wasn't there, I still got to talk to farmers. I still got to run into friends or coworkers or, you know, it's still a fantastic experience that you don't have to go down and spend money. You can go down and just be a part of it. And it's great. You know, like, I love it. I love it.
I found even like working with the restaurant and stuff like that is I didn't actually buy much products from there.
Right.
But then I would connect with the people that are selling and then I'd be like, okay, so next week, can you make sure you deliver to me? Or I'd be like, what have you got fresh? And so then that would help me
sort
of think about what my menu would look like over the next couple of weeks.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I know that you never really purchased for Atlas there, but I know so many times I watched, you know, you'd make that connection and then all of a sudden that person was now starting to deliver to Atlas with great produce. Yeah.
So that's always exciting for me. So
yeah, I'm really geared up for it too.
We should go in a little bit about some of our last few episodes.
Sure.
And the episodes to come. So we haven't really talked much. We've had a few sit downs. We're lucky to have Ivan in last week.
Yeah,
or the last episode, I should say, not next last week, but episodes, you know.
Yeah, he was a charm as always. I love sitting down with Ivan for sure.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think back how far it's been. Like, we got those great ones talking about food trucks.
Yes.
And I guess the survey was pretty unanimous that they want to have food trucks downtown. I don't know how that's going to affect anyone. But.
Right. Oh, yeah. You're talking about the episodes that we sat down with Hans-Peter Meyer and Chef Aaron Rail.
Aaron Rail, where we talked about local and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So got me thinking about a few things and maybe changing my habits and, and working in different ways. So.
Yeah. And then, so for upcoming episodes, what's on tap? I know that we've talked about, again, having Diane on for the food foraging. I think that would be fantastic.
Yes. The other one I was looking at, there's a new restaurant, Tapa Bar.
Right.
Place.
Everybody's abuzz about.
Abuzz about it. Like, mm-hmm. I was asked several times today at my place, what's going on with it?
Right.
But I think they're going to stick with it by Cornerstone.
Yes. Cornerstone.
At the old Zocalo location.
Right.
So they're going to have, what are they going to call it? A brew pub.
Yes.
Style. 11 taps, I believe. Wine on tap.
Oh, I didn't realize that they were looking at 11 taps. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I want to go. These are numbers that I've kind of been
Yeah, so the actual lineup of who's going to be here is yet to be determined, but we're going to sit down with some of the people behind that and have a talk with them.
I have a little tag, and so yeah. We'll be able to find out a little bit. We haven't actually even talked to Gladstone.
Right.
Which is kind of the main people behind this one.
Right.
As well as we're going to bring back, hopefully we can get Trent McIntyre.
Right.
Back in here to sit down because he's getting involved with that. And I know Jamie Edwards is a real estate agent. He's involved with that as well. So hopefully we can get a trio of the three of them together.
That would be fantastic.
And,
yeah.
Sort of find out exactly what their plans are to be there.
Yeah.
So it sounds interesting. I know they've been doing... The place is shut down for this month.
Right.
And hopefully, I think they want to say opening in May.
Yeah, that's what... When I talked to Trent, he said he was aiming for May 1st.
Yeah, that's
one,
the goal.
1 month reno and get everything in place and get it up and running and running. Yeah. And then they'll be open for May 1st, yeah.
And then Kevin Monroe has stepped in as the chef there.
Right, Monroe, which people may remember from Mad Chef. He was...
Or remember Mad from chef. Atlas Cafe.
He was the sous chef from Atlas Cafe.
Well, he
Cafe.
Was actually the chef at Atlas Cafe before I came there.
I did not know that.
Yes, yeah, I took over for him. So that was... He phoned me down in Victoria and said he was going to start his own sushi company.
Yes.
At the time, which didn't work out.
Oh, wow.
But he stuck... The two of us ran that place for a couple of years before he moved on, so...
Wow, I didn't even know about the sushi place. See, Kevin and I were great, great friends in high school and junior high, but we haven't really, you know, had very busy lives and haven't really, like, we talk all the time, but never get a chance to, like, in depth. I didn't realize that he had tried to do sushi in between.
Yeah.
But Mad Chef was great for him, and he did very well there, and then now he's moving on to Cornerstone.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Be an interesting...
Yeah,
chapter of his life to add to his repertoire.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, those are some people we want to talk to. I'm trying to think. There's a bunch of other people I'd love to talk to. I've had some. I want to get in and get some more group discussions going again.
Yeah,
I had some great ideas that I would like to.
I had a lot
about.
Of fun with those group discussions.
Yeah, I want to talk about packaging.
Yeah,
I think there's a whole episode there just talking
for
about
sure.
How much stuff we have packed together.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my restaurant.
You know, it seemed like there was I'm dating myself, of course, but I remember there was backlash in the early 80s when people started to become a little more conscious and conscientious. And there was a real push to move towards minimalizing and not just that, but like doing away with CFCs and doing away with a lot of other harmful packaging. And we moved more towards... You know, we saw the introduction of a lot of paper goods and cardboard goods and whatever to replace the packaging. But I agree with you. You brought this point up, and I think, you know, I don't know where it's happened, but somewhere in this last decade, they've slipped into what's cheap and easy again, and it seems like we're moving back towards excessive, wasteful packaging.
Well, and I think we're working back to cheap plastic.
Yeah.
And I think plastic is my new evil. You know, I don't know. It's just everything's wrapped in plastic.
Well, you know what? I look forward to taking up this issue with a couple other sit-ins and we'll have a big chat about it.
I think there's a good episode to go there.
Yeah, for sure.
There's probably another episode. You know, there's an episode I want to do about bowls.
Bowls?
Bowls. This is a new food trend I've been looking at.
Yeah?
But the trend to go back from rimmed plates.
Yes.
And opened... spread open and that
right.
to more of a form fit bowl. So tight top.
Right.
And sort of that, is there more flavor in that?
Yeah.
Is it a better taste? You know?
I understand you and I haven't even talked about this, but at first glance or at first hear that I think that I can understand where there would that be that mentality where you have that concentration and say you have that wide open surface where you're losing aroma or losing whatever.
Right.
You've got this concentrated sort of opening where you've got that concentration of that aroma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, so we should talk about that.
That's an interesting little chat.
Yeah.
I'd also love to get some farmers in here.
Yeah.
I know this is the worst time to ever talk to them. I ran into Jerry Patterson from Patterson Farms.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, how are you doing? You know, it's so good. And he's like, oh yeah, great, great. Just getting the farm going. He's right. like getting the first acre was done. Yeah. He's like working on the second acre and that. And I'm like, oh, that's great. That's good to hear, you know? And I'm like, I need to get you in for a podcast where we can talk. And he just looked at me. He's like, how about in about 10 years?
Yeah, I know. But it does seem like all the farmers that we do try to talk to, they don't really have a time of year when they're not busy. I mean, even in their downtime, that's when they're strategizing. That's when they're coming up with or getting involved.
Yeah.
Like you look at Arzina. I happened to be in her vicinity quite a bit this last year. And even in downtimes, she was going full bore, whether it was getting involved in this group project or getting involved in that or being vocal about this or that. You know, she would take those downtimes of the farm as opportunities to get more involved
right.
with other, you know, and it's there's never really a good time. But we'll try to get some of those people in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I know there's a few farmers I want to talk to. And
I've
got a list of names here. And so it's just a matter of
I think we probably have the next 20 episodes planned.
Like, yes.
We've just got to get down to cornering everybody and getting them into the studio.
Yeah, well, our goal is to get in here every week, every 2 weeks.
Yep.
And sit down, do a couple episodes.
Yeah.
And so we got a couple of people lined up to talk to, and we're kind of looking forward to it. So.
Yeah.
Well, definitely stay tuned to what's happening here in our Edible Valley.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we'd like to thank all of our sponsors for tonight and for all of our episodes, really, in the last little while since we've been taking on sponsors.
Exactly.
So we've got, right now we have the Atlas Cafe and Ivan's Truffles supporting us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And can we say Camabento?
We can. I guess Camabento is somewhat supporting.
Yes. It's sort of supporting in a small fashion for you. So
yeah. And if you want to be part of the lineup of supporters, please get in touch with us through Facebook or email.
At the edibleValley@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And so we hope to hear from, get a few more people. And if there's a few people out there that want to come in and chat to us, we'd love to hear from you. So
great. All right. Thanks for listening.
Well, thanks, Darren. And if you want to contact us, don't forget to email us at theediblevalley@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us as well at the Edible Valley Podcast. Thanks for listening.